There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 891, June 21, 2021. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. As Dickie V would say, this is awesome, baby! On Sunday, Max V kicking the competition, not the Pirelli tire. And we have victory for Leclerc also at Paul Ricard. We shall explain gladly. Now back to Monsieur Pompidou of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, three in a row for Red Bull. Spaghetti found in Mercedes lunchroom. How long does Bottas really have? I want to remind everybody we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. I had one of the greatest weekends this past weekend. Life is so wonderful. And you know what happened, Mr. Rogers? Thursday, I was working from home, as like most people. And then on my lunch break, 12 o'clock, I log on to YouTube and, you know, watch something, you know. And there was this thing, you know, feature. Press conference for French Grand Prix, and I said, oh yes, we have a Grand Prix this weekend, and what a Grand Prix we had. I was so happy, and Red Bull returns the favor from Barcelona, and Max does a Lewis on Lewis. But you know, Mr. Rogers, a lot of races to go, so I don't think Lewis is under his thumb yet, but looks like regime change may come under the Arabian Night, either in Saudi Arabia or in Abu Dhabi. And Max then will be Alibaba of Formula One, stealing the championship and thunder from Toto and his Wolfpack at Mercedes AMG. Now, you mentioned Bottas. He is working overtime, in my opinion, to open the door for George Russell next season. And Mr. Rogers, this was first time since 2019 that LCH has gone three races without a win. And had it not been for that tire blowout, Max would have had a very good lead in the championship by now. And also the first time this season, and I'm sure not the last time, that we had two Red Bull drivers on the podium. What say you?
So exciting, exciting, exciting. My goodness. I mean, did you see Toto's face during that Grand Prix? I mean, you know, they never pan down too far down. You know, they always just get the face glasses. And then when he's really, really feeling like the kaopectate's not taking over, then the glasses are gone and he's just looking a little nuts. But I have a rumor that I heard this, that he was actually sitting on a bucket. And he was extremely diuretic during this Grand Prix.
Boy, you're going deep on Toto now.
Deep doo-doo.
Yes, and interesting you asked me this. I was going to ask you the same thing. You know, his Max, his love child, Lewis, may look as cool as Naren Karthikeyan, in other words, cucumber, but Toto had Monday on his mind on race day. His favorite saying is, we have a no-blame culture at Mercedes, and that will come in handy as season progresses. There is really no one to blame except to face the harsh reality that another team has the second coming of Lewis Hamilton and then some, and that team is no longer powered by a GP2 engine. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Rogers?
I know what you're talking about.
And you know, I do feel bad for Bottas. He is in a lose-lose situation. If they sacrifice his race or position for the sake of yet another Lewis championship, and we have seen this movie at a Russian drive-in before, he is screwed. Left on his own, he has to crack two nuts before he can hear the Finnish national anthem at the end of a Grand Prix. And the way things are going for him these days, the band members or the DJ, F1 DJ, is so used to Lewis Hamilton or Max winning that when Bottas wins, who knows, by mistake they may play God Save the Queen. But, you know, we'll see. But on a plus side, by the time Western Union man delivers the news from Toto saying, your services are no longer required, Bottas will have more wins than several F1 world champions and will be counting tons of money in his Julius Baer or JP Morgan offshore account. So let's not cry for Finlandia. Shall we do some accounting now on Cauley, sir?
Yes, indeed, sir.
Anything stood out for you? Did you like anything in qualifying?
Nothing exciting for me. I mean, I watched it, but it was, you really only pay attention to the last 8 minutes, and of course, what Fernando's doing.
Well, I pay attention to the first 5 minutes because I know there will be some excitement from Mazepin and Tsunoda.
Yep, my friends.
Yes. Interestingly, four teams got both cars in Q3, Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, and McLaren. Max took his second pole of the season, first since the opening round in Bahrain. And he said, no points are scored today, but we have to finish it off tomorrow and try to get 25 points we lost in Baku. Interesting comment. Next on the front row was LCH, who, despite switching cars with teammate, qualified ahead of Bottas, which of course did not surprise me, but so much for English-based team favoring English driver, as the conspiracy theorist will have it. LCH is also sitting on two poles so far this season, Imola and Barcelona. You know, this kid is doing very well. For third race in a row, local garçon Pierre Gasly qualified in the top three rows, while his teammate Tsunoda returned to his usual way in Q1. Now, I must say, Yuki is no Yuji Ide, but he is really paying the price of lack of experience. And as we all know, Mr. Rogers, misery loves company, so he was joined by Mick Schumacher, and Mick made it beyond Q1 for the first time in his career, only to crash on his final lap and not be able to run in Q2. Lando Norris qualified 8th, teammate Danny Ric was 10th. Now Sergio Perez, of course, won the last previous race in Baku, but qualifying pace in Q3 showed again who the boss is at Red Bull among the drivers. Mad Max was almost half a second faster than Checo. I don't know how many big screen TVs they have in the Red Bull Academy, Mr. Rogers, but I think what they should do is anytime they sign a number 2, they should have the driver watch Cool Hand Luke few times so he understands fully well what's coming. And that is, what we have here is a failure to compete. So when they are booted out of Red Bull after 10-12 races, they are not shell-shocked. Hopefully this will not happen to Sergio, as he has already delivered a win as teammate to their love child. And of course, we cannot talk practice, quality or race without the mention of Nando. El Machismo qualified 9th. Team is happy with his progress. Amazing what the world has come to. Saying this in the 7th race of the season for one of the all-time greats. And in the battle of the Ferrari jockeys, Carlito qualified ahead of teammate Charles Leclerc. Yes, sir, I'll let you describe the opening act of the race itself. All yours.
Well, we were all sitting there with anticipation. The usual lights out, and both cars get a great start. That's what's amazing, is that it was really great, except for there was a little wind. He almost lost control of the car, but to get back in it and only lose one position was actually phenomenal. And the way he stayed with Lewis Hamilton, and from there on, it was exciting. It was exciting, and I'm telling you, Red Bull and Christian Horner, nothing pisses off Toto Wolff more than being outsmarted by Christian Horner.
Yeah, like you said, the start was great, and we are so used to, in the last few years, whoever gets to the first corner, you know, is the race winner. But good thing is, you know, these people are not crashing into each other, and that was really my thought, you know. This is not Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost going at each other. And these kids, you know, they are of the same caliber, maybe even more. So I was very impressed how they raced against each other. And when Lewis took the lead, you know, he hasn't won a race or two here. And I said, maybe, you know, this is it. He'll be back in the championship lead and we're going to have a very exciting championship. You know, Bottas was running pretty strong too. They were all very close to each other. And I was very, very, very surprised when Lewis came behind Max after the pit stop, because everybody in the, you know, the commentary people were talking about how he has a 3-second cushion and this and that. And Lewis's pit stop was actually faster than Max's pit stop. So that was really they're still trying to figure out, from what I've read in the published reports and on the website, that Mercedes can count for 2.5 seconds, but they're still trying to figure out where they lost the other half second. But very impressive performance by both these drivers. Lewis got shell-shocked by Max. And you're right, Toto is not a happy camper when he loses, and I don't think anybody is when they lose a race. But I think when it's from Christian Horner, they already got a war of words going on between the two. So this was very impressive. And man, I cannot even imagine how... I won't be surprised if Max and Christian Horner jump into the Yas Marina if they win the world championship there. And then, you know, Sergio Perez getting ahead of Bottas. And man, Bottas was feisty on the radio. Did that surprise you?
It's exciting. I mean, I think he really wanted to say, Niner, I told you guys it was a two-stop race. It was the best, you know. Nobody's listening to Bottas. They only listen to LCH. I can understand why he's a little ticked off.
No, LCH gets, I don't think they listen to LCH all the time, because I've heard him yell and scream quite a few times. But Bottas, you know, was very feisty, even dropped the F-bomb, which really surprised me. He doesn't go that far. But, you know, he has effed himself. So I'm not surprised that some anger is spilling over now. And then, you know, like Mercedes is saying that they did not bring him because they were expecting and hoping that Sergio Perez will get a penalty for going a little off track. But, and if they had... if they had brought in Bottas, he was going to lose a place anyway. So they took a gamble. But they got totally outsmarted and outraced in Paul Ricard. So that was... And last two times we had the... You know what is interesting, Mr. Rogers? Before this year's French Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton had led all the laps except one, racing laps, in the previous two or three races that they have done at Paul Ricard. So this was supposed to be his race, but it did not turn that way. So very, very impressive. And, you know, Mr. Lando Norris doing a very good job, or as you would say, outstanding. You know, he's the only driver who has scored a point in every race so far.
Very impressive.
Yeah. And I was a little disappointed that Esteban Ocon did not finish in the points. Gasly did, so which was good for local fans. Ferrari, man, I don't know what's going on there. They did not even have a car in the top 10. How pathetic is that?
That's life.
Now, 3-4 laps, you know, when Max was coming up to pass Bottas in the closing stages, the LCH was told that, because then he was asking, you know, how many laps to go and how far behind he was. And at one time, it was interesting, they told him it will all depend how long Bottas can hold Max back. But, you know, it's a good thing that they, and I think it's part of the new rules and regulations and throwing the book at drivers, which sometimes becomes very silly, that these drivers are not doing outrageous blocking moves that you could do back in the day and done by quite a few legends of the sport, I must say. So I'm glad there is no dirty driving or dangerous driving. May the best man win, and that's the way it should be. So very, very exciting. Anything else you liked during the race, sir?
Just the part that Max won and Perez came in third. It was the best. We needed this. I needed this for the Grand Prix de France. And it was Father's Day, so I felt really good all over my body.
Oh, did you see Kelly Piquet after the race?
I did.
Looking mighty fine.
Bravo.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Very, very interesting. And we have a race coming up this weekend.
We do.
How wonderful is that, Mr. Rogers?
It's as wonderful as looking at a picture of me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. You know, I mean, what a fascinating season we're having. Hamilton won 3 of the first 4 races. And normally that pretty much sets the tone for becoming world champion. But now we have a lot of races, you know. They are, from what I understand, I was looking at the F1 website. They are still planning on doing all the races. One of the races was listed as TBC to be confirmed. So we'll see how many they can cram in. But now the last 3 races have been won by Red Bull and the Mercedes team. Hard to believe. They are now 37 points behind Red Bull, and Lewis Hamilton is 12 points behind Verstappen, Max Verstappen. But man, I'll tell you, if something happens, Max wins and Lewis does not score, be it a Kablamo or getting tangled with his own teammate or Perez or Gasly or whoever at the start of the race, he cannot, with 12 points down, he cannot afford to lose 25 points to Max. I mean, this is not Nico Rosberg where he can go 43 points down and still come back and retake the lead. 12 points can be done very easily, but to go 30 plus points would be very difficult for Lewis to catch up. And I would say the same thing. If Max was to go 30 points down, it will be not game over, but very, very difficult. Because, you know, once you get so many points behind and your back is against the wall, then, you know, frustration and aggression sets in, and that's when you end up, you know, making mistakes. But, you know, long story short, cream rises to the top, whether it's on a farm in Wellington, New Zealand, Wales, UK, or Waseca, Minnesota, USA. So I am ready for some more action this weekend. 7 races are done and dusted. You know what is interesting? Red Bull now has more wins than Mercedes. Who would have thought? They have 4. 3 for Max, 1 for Perez. And as Christian Horner said this, and I have to agree with him for once, that he said it before the Grand Prix on Sunday, if we can win the French Grand Prix, then we can beat Mercedes anywhere. So we will see. And you know, the next 2 races are in Dr. Marco's backyard. And this is where Max gave Honda their first win with Red Bull in 2019. I don't know if you remember that, but Charles Leclerc remembers that.
And still cries today.
No, but do you remember there was, I don't know if it was the very next race or a few races after that, Max tried to put pressure on him, and that time he would not give in. So it's good to see all these push and shove going on. And as long as it's clean and nobody's getting hurt, I think it's all is fair in love, war, and Formula One. You know, one thing I did like, maybe I did not notice in the past years, and this reminded me because there's a very famous video of Jim Clark at Hockenheim. The video is shot behind the trees. There were some shots they were showing behind the trees as the cars were going. Did you catch that, sir?
Of course. I thought that was great photography. Very cinematographic.
Yeah, it was very, very nice. I do not remember seeing that in the past, so that was beautiful. And you know what I was thinking, Mr. Rogers? You know, they have these aerial cameras and cranes. Now there is so much technology. You know what will be, sometime they have like, you've seen documentaries like they'll put a camera on an eagle or a falcon, and then, you know, as the bird is flying, coming down, you see all the landscape. I think what would be awesome if they can have a camera on a drone, and that just follows the cars, you know, as they go around the track. You know, like an aerial shot. That'll be beautiful. And Mr. Eric Bouye, obviously he's lamenting at the lack of spectators. Oh, by the way, it was very good to see some spectators there. I mean, that's what the sport is all about. But he's expressing some concern, you know, about the French Grand Prix continuing at Paul Ricard. Would you like this race to continue here, or would you like this to go to Dijon-Prenois or Manicourt?
It's never going to go to Dijon-Prenois because Dijon-Prenois is not prepared for a Formula One race. It would take a lot of money.
Would you like this race to stay here or move?
The biggest problem is, you know, in France, somebody's got to pay for it. If the government's paying for it, it's gone. It's not going to come back. They're very testy over there about that stuff.
Yeah. No, I think it's a nice location, and I wish they would run the long Mistral Strait. You know, there is the very first Grand Prix, 71, at Paul Ricard. If you go on YouTube, there is an aerial footage of that race, and the guy says, and the track featured the Mistral Strait that went forever. And that was beautiful, man. But it's still very long, despite that dog leg or chicane, what you want to call it. And the corner scene, I believe it is called, after the Mistral Strait, that is also very, very nice.
Okay, Nasser, why don't we take a quick break? And we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial after this brief message.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and lots of racing action around the world, and Germany and Mexico, more action in USA. But let's stick to Formula One a little bit more, because Pirelli, under pressure. You know, remember this guy, I think he's from Netherlands, Kees van der Grint. He was the Bridgestone head honcho at the wonderful Halcyon days of Schumacher and Ferrari and, you know, Bridgestone working together. He has expressed some doubt at the outcome of Pirelli's investigation. Pirelli's investigation of the tire problem in Baku was just like the Ferrari investigation on an engine done blowed up. And, of course, they blamed it Mahle. So that was beautiful. So this is what he was quoted in on a website. When you read it, you think, what are they actually saying? They certainly aren't taking the blame, and that's very typical. Red Bull said they did nothing wrong, so who is talking nonsense here? End of quote. And our man, world champion Jenson Button, also had his two shillings on the matter, saying, and I quote, "There were no cuts in the tires from debris and no defects or failure from Pirelli. Voodoo magic then, I guess." End of quote. And you know, apparently, I'm not sure if this is confirmed, but I read that Formula One drivers boycotted a meeting with Pirelli officials at Paul Ricard because of the mysterious Baku blowout situation. And speaking of Baku, Mercedes Audi men have now put a shroud on the magic button so his royalty don't lose another win by triggering it by mistake. Back in the day, we had Shroud of Turin. In today's modern world, we have Shroud of Technology. Wonderful. Okay, sir, more action from Paul Ricca. Formula 3. Three races on a weekend, which is beautiful. Two sprint races on Saturday. First race was won by a Russian driver. This was a very, very exciting race. A Russian driver winner, Alexander Smolyar. He also won the season opener in Barcelona. American racer from Boca Raton, FLA, Logan Sargeant, was among the race leaders and finished fourth. You know, he was supposed to race, he did a very good job in Formula 3 last year, and he was supposed to race in Formula 2, but lack of sponsorship came in the way. Second race on Saturday was won by a driver from Ferrari Driver Academy, Arthur Leclerc, younger brother of Charles, his first win in this series. Dennis Hauger from Norway was second. You don't hear a lot of drivers from Norway. American Jake Crawford from North Carolina was on front row but stalled at the start, finishing 14th at the end. Both of these youths are in the Red Bull driver program. Sunday's feature race saw the first win for Australian Jack Doohan. Hauger was again second. Brazilian Caio Colle was third. He is managed by Nicola Todd and was billed as the next Senna in his karting days. And Mr. Rogers, over the years, you know, I go and talk to these young drivers, and when you interview them, it's inevitable mom, dad, or brother or sister will also join the conversation. And most of the parents I speak to, their child, they think their child is the, you and I have discussed this before also, they think their child is the greatest thing since Sara Lee's sliced bread. Sadly, most of these dreams turn into sourdough by the time the talented kid reaches Formula 3 or Formula 2. And that's when I say, welcome to the world of racing reality. In the championship, Formula 3 championship, top three are Dennis Hauger, getting his kicks on 66 points. Victor Martin from Yerchandrila, France, is second at 60, and Jack Doohan has now moved into third spot, 58 points. And now, sir, something that made me even more happy than the French Grand Prix, believe it or not, and that was the MotoGP from Sachsenring, Germany. Marc Marquez is back on top. The Honda man won his first race since 2019 Valencia. This is Marc's 11th consecutive victory in Germany. Very impressive. Having missed many races since his shoulder injury, he is still not fully recovered, but it was great to see him lead and win after what he called the most difficult year of his life. He was a little emotional in the post-race interview, so were some members of the Repsol Honda team. Hopefully this will give Mark new motivation for more wins. Last several years, he has been LCH on two wheels. Not surprisingly, in his absence, Honda did not get a single win. So there are Bottas on bikes also. And Mr. Rogers, what a weekend for Honda. Victory in MotoGP, victory in IndyCars, and the big kahuna, Formula Uno. Isn't that impressive?
It doesn't get more exciting.
Now we move to Moto 2. This is something we don't cover much due to time restrictions. A third win in a row for Remy Gardner on a KTM, which is an Austrian bike and not surprisingly sponsored by Red Bull. And Remy is the son of Wayne Gardner, another big Australian MotoGP champion. Now we move to IndyCars from one of the finest tracks in the USA, Road America at Elkhart Lake in Wisconsin. All-American front row, man from Tennessee, Joseph Newgarden, started from pole, alongside young rising star from SoCal, Mr. Colton Herta. The race belonged to Newgarden, but victory belongs to Alex Palou. He took advantage of gearbox gremlins on Joseph's car to take his second win of the season. From leading the race with two laps to go, Newgarden finished 21st, which was very disappointing for him and his team Penske. Romain Grosjean was fifth. Two young whippersnappers are at the top of the championship. Alex Palou from Viva España leading over Pato Ward, 349 points to 321. So the future is very bright. I must say, future is very bright for IndyCar racing and some of these young kids, you know, Herta, Pato Ward, and Palou. So I'm very happy for the series and the whole, you know, shebang. Now we move to German. Can you call DTM German NASCAR, or are they too sophisticated?
You could call them German NASCAR.
A new era has begun for DTM, also known as German Touring Cars. Ex-Grand Prix star Gerhard Berger is the boss man of the series, and after Mercedes and Audi pulled out, he had the biggest migraine of his racing life since his days at McLaren as teammate to Ayrton Senna. Smart move by him, and the series decided to go with GT3 cars, which now includes cars from Ferrari, McLaren, and Lamborghini. And that, you know, last year there was talk that the series may just, you know, disappear, which would have been very, very sad. And there are drivers from faraway places like India, New Zealand, South Africa, and USFA. Now, here is the best part of the 2021 season, and that is the opening round was at the best possible place, a park just north of Milano, which I call Mia More Monza Autodromo. Also, they have two races. A race on Saturday was won by Red Bull Kiwi driver Liam Lawson on his debut in the series, driving a Ferrari. Given no love lost between Toto and his fellow Austrians at Red Bull, it's a no-brainer he was not at the wheel for Mercedes. Alexander Albon was fourth, and he also drives a Ferrari. So this season, Mr. Rogers, Liam Lawson, has won his debut race in two series. Earlier this year, he also won his first ever F2 race, which was very, very impressive. He first came on my racing radar a few years ago when he beat compadre Marcus Armstrong in the Toyota Racing Series in New Zealand, which is like 15 races in 5 weekends, early January and February. At that time, Marcus was the high-flying Kiwi, member of the Ferrari Racing Academy, but after two non-championship winning years in Formula 3 and Formula 2, Marcus is losing his altitude. Some of his fellow competitors have told me that he is still high on attitude. So we'll see how this thing works out. And he's still in the Ferrari Driver Academy. Now for some electrifying news south of the border. You know, Ross Perot used to talk about the gushing sound from the south. Now we have at F1 Weekly the high-revving voltage sound from the south, Puebla, Mexico. This series also has quite a few drivers who have traveled the boulevard of broken dreams of Formula One. One of them is Pascal Wehrlein, who gave Porsche their first win in the series in Puebla, only to be disqualified on a technicality. I think the technicality was that choice of tires was not declared before the race. This handed victory to Lucas de Grassi from Brazil. Second race was won by Eduardo Mortara from Switzerland for Mercedes, and he now leads the Formula E Championship. So, Mr. Rogers, finally we come to the histoire of the French Grand Prix. As we all know, the very first Grand Prix took place in 1906, the French Grand Prix at Le Mans. The winning driver came from Hungary, but the car was locally built, Renault on Michelin tires. And you know, when the 2006 Grand Prix came to Manicourt, I believe it was, for once, I really wanted a Spanish driver to win the race in a Renault on Michelin tires, but a German driver in a red car reigned on his parade, and Nando had to look for, not for umbrellas of Cherbourg, but umbrellas of many coups. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And, you know, some of the important things that happen in French Grand Prix, Mike Hawthorn, who was the first British world champion, his first victory came in the French Grand Prix, of course, not at Paul Ricard. And then Juan Manuel Fangio's final race in 1957 was at Rouen, which is the hometown of Mr. Pierre Gasly.
And of course, tragedy struck in 1968 at Rouen. Joe Schlesser was killed in his very fiery bad crash in his air-cooled Honda. And then, of course, Mr. Alain Prost scored his first Grand Prix win at Dijon-Prenois in 1980. And we all know what happened there the year before in 1979. And on a sad note, you know, especially when the race goes to Paul Riga, Italian Grand Prix winning driver Elio De Angelis lost his life there in a testing crash while he was testing the low-profile Gordon Murray-designed Brabham. So that was a sad day in the world of motor racing.
So now we got our Red Bulls, we got our funny hats, we're off to Austria. I mean, Mercedes has got to bounce back. Am I wrong?
No, sooner or later they will bounce back, and I do expect Bottas to get a win or two also. But you know, the problem now is if Bottas is leading and Max is second or Perez is second, nothing Toto can do. He's not going to ask him to drop to third or fourth so Lewis can get some points. But if he's leading and Lewis is second, especially with him being behind in the championship, I mean, they're going to ask, Valtteri, this is James, please let Lewis go by. But I do expect Lewis to bounce back. But right now, you know, the momentum and the mojo is with Max. And you know, Mr. Rogers, what is interesting, you can have the greatest strategies, you can have the greatest engineers. And as we saw at Paul Ricard, if Max was delayed by 2 seconds, he probably would not have won the race. So even when you have everything going, you still need a guy behind the wheel who can deliver. Because these, remember a year or two ago when Lewis was, I think it was in Hungary when he was brought in and he ran him down. It was almost at the tail end. So these are just fabulous racing talents we have that we can see. And I'm very pleased that they're not crashing into each other, which is going to happen somewhere during the season. But man, I'll tell you, for me, it's the same thing, whether it's Lewis winning the championship or Max. But for me, for my sake of my health, I would like the championship not go to the final race. It will just get too much pressure for me. And sir, we end Motorsports Mondial with Musical Mondial. Today we have one of my favorites from your Shangri-La, courtesy of the orchestra of Paul Maria. This is a theme from a movie called Night of the Generals. Okay. And French title of the tune is Adieu à la nuit, which I believe translates to Farewell to the Night. Very nice tune. Please enjoy and thank you for listening.
Good night.